Thank you much for that greeting. And now let me draw us together around the reading of God's Word. Today it's from the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning verse 7 through 16. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. Your thought for today is, the church grows in the soil of truth. The church grows in the soil of truth. So Christ gives the gifts that he wants us to have. And we immediately here in this particular text are taken in Paul's addressing, why are these gifts given? He talks about the grace and he talks about the ascension and the descending of Christ. And what that means is that Christ came down to earth, and in that coming down to earth, he accomplished for us the great gifting that he can now give to his church. It is in that descension, that condescending, is the pollen. Condescending, when Christ gave up of his status in heaven and he came down to earth to put on the role of a servant and to serve us in a way that pleased God the Father all the way through the cross. And because of that completed work, he was exalted and raised up. And as he was lifted back up into heaven, that completed work now makes our salvation possible. It is our salvation that makes this church possible. Because as I have reminded all of us in the past, the church is not this structure. You can take away this structure and you would still have the church. Because the church is you and I. That makes the church. Always remember that. We are the church. Not this structure, as beautiful as it is, we are the church. And so when we're talking about the church today, I don't want you to think of the building, even though I will use that in just a moment as an illustration, but I want you to think about you as an individual. You are the church. Christ can give gifts because we are his people. He has paid for us with a price, Scripture reminds us. What is that price? It was with his blood. He paid for us with his life, with his blood. We now belong to him through faith in him, through our regeneration, through the Spirit that we've talked about in the chapters and verses leading up to this particular moment, this particular section. And so now we belong to Christ. And because we belong to him, he will ensure that we have all that we need to grow, because he wants his church to grow spiritually, numerically as well, but he wants us to grow especially spiritually. When you have children, you love them, you care for them, you give them everything that you can, you pour yourself into them. Why? Because you want them to grow up into individuals that will take on responsibility, and be good, upstanding citizens. If you are a Christian mom and dad, you want them to grow up into the fellowship of the Lord. And so you keep them in church, you keep them in Bible schools and Sunday schools and those kinds of things, so they get filled with Christ and the information that they need to begin to grow in that maturity in Christ that God wants for all of His people. And so you pour yourself into them. That's what Christ is doing for the church. He's pouring Himself into us. And so He gives to us the gifts that His church needs in order to grow. And that's why Paul, I think, is specifically pointing here to those gifts that are specific for that church spiritual growth. In other places in Scripture, more gifting is given. But here in this particular section, I believe the emphasis is on growing spiritually. And so he mentions here that of these gifting that he's given, that specific amount that goes into church spiritual growth. I want you to remember that in the church, diversity leads to unity as different gifts are used for the same cause, and that's glorifying God. If you think of the parts of the body that Paul alludes to in various places and Scripture alludes to, about how all of the different parts of the body work together for the common cause. The head, as we know, the brain sends out those signals and the parts of the body work together. You have signals that come from the brain that you think about and signals that come from the brain that you don't think about. And all of that works together to make our body work together. And Paul likes to use that illustration here for the body of Christ working together because we are diversified. But in our diversity, we find the unity because all of those gifts are being guided by the head, Christ, in order to produce the growth within His church that He wants His people to have, to fill them with that Spirit, to fill them with His knowledge. This particular section of Scripture talks out with those gifts, and he lists them as apostles and prophets. The apostles and prophets, they laid the foundation for the church. Now we're going to get into that illustration again about building the structure. The apostles and prophets came in and they laid the foundation because they were with Jesus. The apostles were. They heard His teaching specifically, and they carried those teachings into the formation of the early church. The prophets were those who laid God's groundwork of faith way back in the Old Testament. And they had specific messages for the people that they shared with the people in order to have God's wisdom and knowledge given over. So those intermediaries that God used to deliver His word to His people, so that those people could be filled with His wisdom and understand the desires that He had for them, and what kind of people He wanted them to become. And so that foundation was laid. That was the groundwork. Think of that as the foundation of a building. The next ones that are named here are the evangelists. The evangelists come and they send out the call. You think of ones like Billy Graham, who led all kinds of revivals during the course of his ministry. Filled stadiums with people that heard God's word, and he would send out a call. He wanted repentance. He preached repentance. That's where his messages were focused, was on repentance and receiving the call of God and answering the call of God. And so those evangelists, if you want to think about them, those of you who have some building knowledge, and if you've ever built a house before, you've seen this happen. The apostles and prophets laid the foundation. Think of the evangelists as the framers. They come up and they put the framework there. They put those studs there. They call the people. The call goes out. And God uses that evangelistic call to bring His people together, to bring them into the body. And so the structure comes up. The walls, the framing of the structure goes up. And then he says, pastor teachers or shepherd teachers, whatever your translation of Scripture says there. And I'm going to include them as one individual. Shepherd teachers, pastor teachers. Think of the pastor teachers as finished carpenters. Those who, after the framework has come up, They go inside the house and they start doing all of the detail work. The evangelists define the church. The pastor teachers refine the church. The evangelists define the church. They send out the call. The call of the church comes in. That's defining it. Who are we? The ones who have answered the call that have come in. Now what? And I think, folks, never forget that it's not just enough to share God's word with an individual and have them say yes to Christ and then leave them alone. That's not how this works. It would be like, as I like to use this illustration, it would be like seeing someone drowning in a river and we throw them a life jacket. And then we say, we see you. Or we pull them out of the river maybe and they're soaking wet. They don't know where they are. They may be injured. All right, I've saved your life. That's not how we leave an individual when they answer the call to Christ. It's not just the pouring ourselves into them and delivering God's truth in love, but it's also the refining of that individual. Christ has structured His church so that it gets defined by those who answer the call and refined by those who preach, those who teach, to fine-tune the theology that is needed to get the church to grow spiritually. And so those are the framers, the foundation layers, the framers, and the finished carpenters, if you will, to define the structure of the body of Christ and to refine it. But there's a seriousness to the call of those who become the pastors and teachers. Acts 20:28 says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood." When you take your loved one to a doctor, you require a lot of that individual. Especially if you have a parent that is ill and you become that parent's caretaker and you take that individual to a medical professional, you listen carefully to what that professional is saying because you want your loved one to have the best care possible. And so you act as that person's advisor. You act as that person's lawyer, if you will, in being sure that they are cared for. And that caretaker requires a lot of that medical person. When you hand your child off to a daycare individual, you require a lot of that daycare individual because that is your child. You have poured yourself into that child. You love that child. And so you want that daycare individual to be one who returns that child to you safely, in good health, and in good spirits. That is the way we think of what Christ is doing for the church through individuals like myself and others who teach God's word. A lot is required of us, and I will have to stand before God one day on what I have delivered to you and how I have delivered it to you. Not only on the content, but also in the method. Speaking the truth in love. Remember that concept. And so I will stand accountable for what He has called me to do. As refiners, as finished carpenters of the Church of Christ, we are required to care for the church of God. And so those individuals now have been put into place. The goal of all of these gifts is to bring about maturity in the church, to grow up the church into maturity. We'll talk about that a little more. The role of maturity is to bring the flower of faithfulness to the church. Faithfulness allows us to withstand all that the world throws at us. So that goal of growth is the maturity of the church. He says, not so that we'll be like children that's tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind. When you are a child, you are susceptible to gags. You know, you've got, everybody's had that uncle, right? You know, where they grab your nose and there it is. And, you know, when you're young, it's like... And so all of these kind of things that we've been exposed to by tricksters and others who convince us that what they say is true. We are susceptible to that. But as we grow, as we mature, we find out that that is not your nose. It's just his thumb there. Or he always had that quarter in his hand before he put it behind your ear. We learn those kinds of things because we have grown in maturity. Experience has taught us, and hard knocks has taught us, that these things are not to be believed. And so as the church grows, it is the calling of the pastor teachers to take the framework of the church and to finish it, to answer our calling. And we teach, and through God's grace, that faithfulness begins to grow. Growth occurs in the soil of truth. That was your thought for today. The church grows in the soil of truth. Or as Kent Hughes says, truth is the medium for growth. You know that word medium, if you're a gardener or a plant enthusiast, what is the growing medium? Some things like orchids take a completely different growing medium that they have to be set in a pot versus something like pansies that potting soil would be fine. But orchids take this particular growing medium that's just so very well drained and it looks different from soil. In fact, it doesn't even look like soil. But it's the growing medium that plant needs. What the church needs for growth is truth. That's what this phrase means. That's what the thought for today means, is that the church grows in the soil of truth. What is that medium that we can put deep roots down? What is that medium that we can, as people of faith, begin to grow our faith and to make roots into that soil so that when the winds of adversity come into our lives, the winds of doubt, despair, all of those kinds of things, we will stand fast. We will be held by our faith. Growth in spiritual maturity comes about through faith. Faith blooms through knowledge. Knowledge comes through truth. It is truth that builds relationships, not deceit. Let me repeat that. Faith blooms through knowledge. Knowledge comes through truth. Truth builds relationships, not deceit. All of us know that. If you have a relationship with an individual that you care about and they're always lying to you, that relationship is not going to last. If you've got a relationship with an individual and you know that whatever they tell you, you can always depend upon it, it's going to be the truth. It's going to be right. It's going to be sure. Then you know that you can go to that individual and they will tell you the truth. You know that that relationship can survive because it's built upon truth. It's not built upon deceit. And so if a relationship with Christ is to get stronger, God's truth has to be delivered. With that truth then comes the knowledge, the deeper knowledge of Jesus. Way back in Ephesians, in Paul's prayer here, he was praying that in the first part of this book, he was praying that they would become, that they would have a deeper knowledge of Christ, that they would have a deeper knowledge of who he is, a deeper knowledge of God. The more you know about an individual, the more you can trust that individual because you know who they are. As a man or woman that you can go to and you know that you'll get a good answer. You know you can depend upon them. And so you have to know them. And so what God is offering to us through Christ is to know Him. And as we get deeper in the knowledge of Christ and as we hear the refining teaching of those that He has put in the church for that purpose and He has called for that purpose, all of that comes together to continue to build the knowledge of Christ. The deeper the knowledge and the deeper the experience that we have with Him in managing our struggles and helping us in our times of despair and through all of the doubt that we have in our medical conditions and various other things that come into our lives, we begin to develop a deeper relationship. And it is on that relationship then that church begins to take root and to grow. Sir Francis Bacon is accredited with that original saying that knowledge itself is power. We have shortened it to knowledge is power. It is the knowledge of God and in His truth that we withstand the peer pressures and societal pressures that are on all of us now. Our friends that aren't perhaps as far along the line of spiritual growth as you may be, put thoughts into your mind, encourage you to do things that might be against what God would have you to do. Be the kind of person that you know you don't need to be if you're going to get closer to Christ. Gets you to take a more laid back stance against the things of God. All kinds of temptation there that come into our lives through peer pressure. Society puts another kind of pressure upon us. Laws are passed. Encouragements to accept things that we know are against the biblical truth that we stand upon, that we hold high in honor. But society says it is all right and you need to accept that. And so all of these things that are happening around us, we can get battered about like waves. And it takes a spiritually mature person to withstand and to stand into that and to keep delivering God's truth, because truth makes knowledge possible. Faith comes through knowledge. So a growing and a strengthening of the faith in the church comes at the base in truth. We know we can depend upon this word because God has guarded it and provided it to us for centuries. And Christ died for it. And He died so that you and I can come together and be His body. And that's the price that was paid. So truth in the Word leads to knowledge in the pastor-teacher that has been called. But there's something about the work of the church is that those who have been called to pastor-teacher roles are still trying to become followers of Christ in a deeper way. It is not that we've been set up with all the knowledge that we need, because we're still finding things out that we can share with you. We are still struggling with our children. We're still struggling with relationships. We struggle with all of the stuff and pressures and voices that go on inside of you, because we are not immune from that. And in fact, we may be even attacked more vigorously by evil. I've often shared that one of the longest walks that a pastor has is from the pulpit to his car on Sunday mornings after everything's over. And all of these voices and struggles are going on inside of him. And that's not something that you may experience. Maybe you do, I don't know. But I know I have. And that's one of the longest walks that a pastor can take. And that's every Sunday season. Because you're being attacked and you're being ridiculed and you're being... And doubts are being cast upon you. Did I do a good job? Did I say what I needed to say? Did I deliver it in a way that they could understand it? All of those kinds of things come. So pastors, teachers are not immune from spiritual growth and struggling to put down deep roots, that we can stand in that truth. And we can stand in the grace of Jesus Christ by saying, I was true to my calling this day. That I delivered that truth as it was given to me. That I put into effort the struggle that was necessary to study and to learn and to extract through God's grace what He wanted me to share with you that day. And so even a pastor-teacher is also a disciple and a call to be that disciple. Then lastly, what I want to share with you, as important as that truth is, it must be couched in love. Scripture reminds all of us who would want to be teachers in 2 Timothy 2, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Why? God may perhaps grant them, the persons that you are teaching, repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. So learn to speak the truth in a way that builds up, that encourages. Like a little example I shared with the kids there. Truth can be delivered harshly, or truth can be delivered lovingly, in a way that encourages, in a way that builds up, not tears down and destroys. Truth can be delivered lovingly and encouragingly, or it can be delivered in a way that breaks down and destroys. Still the same truth. Truth doesn't change. But how that truth is delivered can make all the difference in the world. That's what this scripture is talking about in 2 Timothy. That was advice from the mature Christian, Paul, to a young pastor going into his service, Timothy. Deliver that truth in love. Don't argue and fight your way through things, but be kind and patient with those who oppose that truth. Endure that evil. Correct with gentleness. Let them know that truth, but do it with gentleness. Why? Because God is still working on His church. God is still putting up the framework. Even as you, Timothy, are trying to refine and be that finished carpenter with who God has called into His body, He's still building that structure. He's still framing. And so all folks in each congregation are on different parts of the timeline. And what we understand and what we can take in and what we receive, all of those things are on different places in our line of maturity. And so it's up to the ones who have been called to be the pastor teacher to deliver that truth in love. Scripture reminds us that faith, hope, and love will endure after all of these things. But it says the greatest of these is love. Jesus reminded His disciples, as He was one of the last things He said to them, He said, I want you to remember to love each other as I have loved you. If you do this, the world will know that you are My disciples. And so the call goes out to the church that we love each other as Christ has loved us. If we do that, those outside of the body will know that we are His disciples. That's the call to all of us, to walk in a way that we deliver and stand in God's truth with gentleness, firmness, and love, so that those hearing that truth will be drawn to it. Just like advertisements. Come take. Because it's good. Live in that goodness. Walk in that goodness. And let me pray for you. Father, we thank You this day for Your grace and for all that You have done to build Your church and to frame it and to finish it and refine it and define it. And we just pray that as we are called and as we step into those roles, that You, Father, will continue to be that source of grace and strength for us. That in the soil of truth, we will put down deep roots. That this church will grow spiritually. That it will grow in monumental proportions in ways that will just reveal Your nature more assuredly to those in whom we come in contact. And Father, make that our prayer, that we deliver Your truth in love by standing in love. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.